tonight. I have thought a great deal about last Sunday and the testimony meeting last Sunday night, how I enjoyed it. But it showed two sides of God's precious people. Now, according to God, and according to the Word of God, God is no respecter of persons. But you must know that those that lay a hold of Him and live by faith are the people that are pleasing to Him. The Bible tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. And the Bible tells us not to draw back, because His soul will have no pleasure in us. And we all believe that God's in control. We all believe that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I say we all believe. I think we all know that the statements are there. We all know all things work together to good, to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All of us know that. We read it. But then we can get in a time of testing. And your life will never progress unless you're tested. You're tested to trust God. You don't go with the Yale crucify him and all of that. All of those people lost that day. I don't know how many believed that God was in control of the crucifixion and all of those things. But I know those that did believe were those that came through that horrible, horrible day, triumphant and victorious. And you see, you're God's precious people. And you've been born twice. You came into this country through a natural mother and father into this world. And then one day you came to that time when God challenged you with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you accepted it, and you were born again. Now, born again, you became the heir of God. And the possibility is there that you can become a joint heir with Jesus Christ, who is going to heir everything. And you can be a joint heir with Him. But you'll be put in places of distress, persecution, maybe prosecution. You will have to endure hardness as good soldiers. And you think of the Apostle Paul. Do you know how he could write Philippians and Ephesians and Colossians and Timothy and Titus in a dungeon? He didn't believe what his eyes saw. He believed what God said. You see, he had inner eyes. He had a heart that was enlightened to see what the hope of his calling was, what God's inheritance could be in his people. See, God gets an inheritance out of all this someday. He could create diamonds, perfect diamonds as big as this earth, just as easy as he could create a blade of grass. But those things were not his satisfaction. They were not his wealth. He made us. And we're someone that is capable of knowing him. knowing his love, knowing his grace, knowing his faithfulness, knowing not just his power, not just his genius, not just things that manifest that he holds the winds and the oceans in the palm of his hand. Have you ever thought of the hand, how big it must be that he's everywhere? How big must that hand be? And yet, you see, there is one thing he longs for: your fellowship, your trust. When Paul, and I quoted and told you about a story I read, oh, it's been maybe 30, 40 years ago. Yes, it was during World War I, so it had to be World War II, 50 years ago. So anyway, this young lady married a soldier, and he was kind of up in command a notch or two, and they put him out there in Death Valley. He was over something out in there. I don't remember what it was. But they lived there, and it was without air conditioning, and you know what it might have been in that day. I lived in a day when an electric fan just didn't exist. And air conditioning, don't even think of it. And so on. But she lived in a kind of a cramped quarters, and there were the centipedes and the horny toads and Gila monsters and rattlesnakes and whatever, and the peculiarities of the native tribes and so on. And she had a father that was very near her. Most of you heard me tell it Wednesday or Sunday night. And she wrote her father, who never deserted her, who always came to her aid and her encouragement. And she wrote that. She said that long letter, and she despised the way the wind blew and how hot it was and how the sand seeped into her house in spite of everything she did to stop the cracks and whatever. And she had to be careful with the rattlesnakes and the Gila monsters and so on and so on. And she just complained, and Dad, I just feel like getting up and leaving. And she said she got the letter from him. And he called her by name, and I don't remember that. But he said, "Dear so-and-so," whatever. Two men were in prison. They looked out the bars. One saw the sand, the other saw the stars. God bless you. Your loving father. She said, I sat down and I cried and I almost had fits. And I said, he don't love me, and so on and so on. But she said, I took a hold of that message and I began to look around without prejudice. I began to see the beauty of even the rattlesnake. And she said, I fell in love with the natives. Some of the finest friends I've ever had are natives. People I made friends in that day. She said, and when I get an opportunity, I go back and visit them. I spend vacations there. Now, if I was in that dungeon, what would I look at? What would I write about? What would I tell you if I talked to you? I trust it would be what Paul said. Now, precious hearts, It's inevitable that you will be tested. You will be pressed out of measure beyond strength in so much you may despair of your very life. I have a few times, and I don't think he's a respecter of persons. I think he may love you just as much as he loves me. And he may want the best for you like he wants it for me. And so now don't count it strange concerning the fiery trial which may try you. Don't think God has lost control. Don't think he's angry. Don't think he's trying to be partial. Don't think he's anything but what he is. Someone that so loved you, he gave the fountainhead of every created thing to see you sit in that pew tonight. And one day, see you come and be with him forever. So now the next time, and it may be still going on for you, but the next time, say like I said up in that airplane, I need to get out of this airplane, but I can't jump. He never told me I could jump, but Lord, I can't go to Grand Junction. And when I told him that, I had a peace and I settled back. The next thing I know, he's landing that plane where it couldn't be landed. Isn't he wonderful? You know, if you're anything, it's by the grace of God. Did you have any food to eat tonight? Paul didn't. Do you have to go and search through the rag bag and find enough to keep you warm? Paul didn't even have the rag bag. He left that old cloak at Troas. Did you ever get into the place where you felt like nobody loved you, nobody wanted you? All in Asia have forsaken me. Timothy, I'm mindful of your tears. Don't be ashamed of me and my chain. And I could go on and on. How many of you want to be in the bride of Christ? Amen. But you'd better let him have his way. And he's going to have it, whether he has your permission or not. That's the thing of it. So when you get in that test, be like Bunyan was. When he got in the king's prison, he looked for his wine. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? How much do you love Jesus? Enough to trust him even in the midnight. At midnight, Paul and Silas sang. Huh? Now, don't tell me I fell out there a few minutes ago and skinned my knee, hooked my toe in one of those steps. Fell on that cement, and I thought, oh, Lord, what am I going to do next? And then I felt like the steps of a good man were ordered of the Lord. And so it may get sore, but I, Caesar's prisoner, I, the prisoner of the Lord. Don't give the devil credit for anything other than polishing your crown. Huh? You believe that? Now, you don't really believe it, do you? Next time you come whining and crying to me, and if you're in that shape, come to me. I'll listen to you. Fact's the matter, I might whine and cry with you. Said, laugh with those that laugh. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Well, I have a hard time complaining with you that complain. But I do sympathize with you. All right? All right, let's read the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It didn't come from God. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be otherwise, none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. I wish I'd have brought one of the translations on that, but I didn't. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth or warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, 18 of them here: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now there are many, many more, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not go to heaven. Well, that's the way most people would make it read. Paul had to make a mistake here, don't you know that? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against that, such there is no law. You can go down here on Broadway, and if you go down 50 miles an hour and they catch you, you're in trouble. But you do this all you can. There's no law against that. Love the most of anybody in the assembly. Try to love the most of anybody that goes to heaven. Certainly love more than anybody else in your family. Don't you think you ought to try to outstrip them in this thing? So, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, in this chapter 5 and 6, we come to that practical part of Paul's letter, that is, in verse 1 through 6. And let me point it out, because I'll try to comment on most of it all at once. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now I want you to notice here, stand fast, therefore. As we pointed out many times before, in many lessons before, the word wherefore and therefore reach back into what has preceded it to show you, as he brings this before your eyes, what it is that it will strengthen you to be able to do what he's asking you to do. What's he asking you to do? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You're free. Stand fast in that freedom I've given you. When I died on the cross for you, I freed you in every respect of the word, except from the presence of sin. He's freed you from its power, though you may do it, though we may do it. He's freed us from it. We don't have to. You know, I used to smoke cigars, chew tobacco, roll my own, smoke pipes, smoke and drink. And then one day I found out I didn't have to, and I quit. I don't have to smoke. Of course, you say, Brother Hill, I just have to. No, you don't. He whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Don't you know that? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, where do I get that strength? From what happened in the first four chapters. What he has presented in the first four chapters will free any sinner in Adam's race if they'll embrace it. Therefore, it looks back at the facts of why a believer is justified, and justified by faith alone. chapter 3, let me read that, and verse 3 through 9. Am I looking right? Yes. 6 through 9, that's right. Did I say 6 through 9 or 3 through 9? I think I said 6. All right. Here he deals with Abraham. He said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Why do I want to go back and pick up something that the law states to please God? I can believe him and bypass all that. He set me free. I don't have to do that. I don't have to be circumcised. I don't have to eat certain meats. I don't have to keep certain days. I don't have to do those things to please God. One day, just like Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees, I was down here in this old world where Satan is its present God in most things. And I was down here, and he said, my son died for you. And now I didn't just turn around and get free of everything immediately. And I don't think I, nor do I profess to have already achieved, neither already are made perfect, but I'm on the road and I'm following after that I may apprehend that for which he's laid a hold of me. And I know the only way I can do it is believe him. How did Abraham get saved 430 years before the law was given? He got saved by believing God. God said, just like he said, what did he say? A fellow I was dealing with here just recently, I talked to him about the Lord, John 3:16, read it, and he said, I believed that for years. Well, I said, what do you have? Nothing. Well, I said, you don't believe it. His jaw kind of fell. And I said, I'm not exactly calling you a liar, but I'm going to have to call you a liar. God won. And I know I'm not going to call God a liar. He said, if you believed it, you'd never perish, but you'd have, present tense, everlasting life. Now, do you have it? Oh, he said, I see it. You see, precious hearts, here Paul points out how Abraham was justified and was given Christ. And in the 13th verse of this third chapter, we read, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So all who believe have been not only delivered from the judgment due their sin, not only delivered from the penalty of the broken law, but delivered from the law itself. Notice what it said. Let me read it again. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So I never was under the law. The Gentiles were never under the law. But I could put myself under the law. But one little thing nullifies the grace of God. You cannot mix law and grace. Now you can say you can, But all you have to do is read what Paul said in Romans. He said, if it's of grace, it's no more the law. He said, if it's of the law, it's no more grace. You either are trusting God to keep His word to you, or you're going to look at yourself and say, God made a covenant with me that if I would do and don't and do and don't, He would save me. Well, you see, precious hearts, if you bring that right down to its fact, the legalist will never be saved until he gets inside the pearly gates. Isn't that what it adds up to? Sure. Now, you say, man said that to me. He said, if I believe that, I'd go out here and so and so and so and so. I said, I didn't know you wanted to do those things. I thought he had a cleaner mind than that. Oh, bless your heart. And yet it's serious. It's very, very serious. So, you see, the law was never our Savior. It was simply the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, according to 3:24. And then how Abraham, we read how he had two sons in 4:22. One was by the bondmaid, and one was by the free woman. And he said, Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. She's the free woman. She's the woman of grace. Sarah was the woman of grace. You see, she had nothing, and yet it was through her that he would have that child. And so Abraham has these two sons, and one of them is by the bond or the slave girl, and one of them the free woman. One then was by man's ability, and one was by God's promise. One was an heir. One was to be cast out. 4:30. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Oh, Brother Hill, that's cruel. They're pretty good. Now, it isn't a matter of not loving your brother. You love them no matter how they hate you and what they may say to you. You will learn to love them. And if you don't, you're going to be out of the will of God. You can't say you love Jesus and are going to be in the bride of Christ if you don't love your brother that you have seen. How can I say I don't love you that I have seen, John said, and I don't, or I say I love the Lord that I've never seen? That's simple, isn't it? Why aren't we simple? We think we know something up here, but we don't know anything as we ought. And so here we are, precious hearts. We read in 1 Timothy 6:12. Well, let me go back again. Paul in chapter 3:10 says, as many as are under the law are under a curse. That's chapter 3:10. So stand fast. Now this word fast, it means to lay hold of, to take hold of, with a special purpose, both in profession and in conduct. You see, we are a new creature. And as Paul wrote 1 Timothy 6:12 and 19, he twice says, lay hold on eternal life. What does he mean? He means to appropriate the benefits of who we are and what God is to us, its privileges, its responsibilities. Twice Paul calls or tells the Philippians, hold fast. And we're told another place, and it's the same word stand fast, hold fast. They're the same word in the Greek. So verse 2, it says, Christ will profit you nothing. And then verse 9, and I'm hurrying in a lot of this because the clock's about caught me. We read, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I remember back when I was just a kid, they didn't have yeast like they have it now, I suppose. But these old country women, they had what they called a starter. And that thing, if you got it too hot, it would kill it. And if it was too cold, it wouldn't multiply. And so you had big old cooking stove, and it had what you called a warming oven. And my mom would have had a bowl, and oh, it wasn't too big a bowl, but she had her starter in there. And that thing stunk like I don't know what. And she'd make up a certain amount of flour and whatever she put in it. When she made light bread, she'd make light bread once a week. Rest of the time, we ate cornbread and biscuits. And I never did care so much unless the light bread was hot. Then I liked it. But anyway, she'd make that up, and then she'd reach over and maybe get something about maybe as big as an egg. And she'd work that in there. She'd put it in a big pan, looked like almost a pea in a eggshell, and she'd put it in there, put it back in that warming oven. The next morning, that pan would be running over the edge. A little leaven, you precious young people, especially you that are going to college. And I don't know whether Nancy has found it out yet, but I think Jared pretty well knows I wasn't far off when I said that barrel of rattlesnakes. You see, there's a lot of poison on that campus. And it's come to the place that the good kids used to be in majority. But now, you don't have to crawl through a window into somebody's dorm. They just put you together. Do your thing. What? So we dress like them. We comb our hair like them. We dance with them. We party with them, and we forget to read Ephesians chapter 2. Let me just read this. Do you know what the world is? It's the most deadly thing there is. Did you ever read all of those things in the Old Testament that could defile an Israelite? You had to cover a vessel lest a fly flying across it defiled it. And you think of that. Study the leper. You'll find out what all of this is. You hath he quickened. I'm going to read the first two verses and maybe three. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to what? The course of this world. Do you know who makes all of these up-to-date new fashions? Well, you say, I think it's, what some of these real people that make these clothes and things. Now, I don't care if you wear them clothes, but I do want you to put them on. Did you know that? Sure. It's amazing. Oh, just let me get my head in the tent. Oh, I'm so cold out here in this freezing sandstorm. Let me get my shoulders in. Oh, you know, I'm so miserable out here in this storm. Let me get my belly in. Next thing you know, of all things, that Arab is out in the cold and the camel has the tent. So that's been wise a long time ago. Now, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You find that twice in Paul's writing. The first time you find it in the book of Galatians. Well, actually, you find it before the book of Galatians, but I'll say in Corinthians. And there it's the leaven of practice. You can't go out here and let the world set your lifestyle and practice bridal race. And you can talk about being in the bride of Christ, and you can criticize poor old Brother Hill and say he's meddling in my business and so on. That'll be all right. You just can't blame me for not telling you the truth when you find out you missed it. What do you think about that? Of course, you're going to say amen. I hope you mean it. But in Galatians, they that were justified by the law are fallen from grace. And then Peter says, we fall from our own steadfastness. Don't you imagine I meddled long enough, Lori? You don't think I did? You don't think that boy by you needed to hear that? You think he did? Well, you come over, son. If you don't practice that, I might hold your head when it aches so bad that you don't know how to get rid of it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And listen, I've been there. And I know what I'm talking about. So, believers walk by faith. Paul in the dungeon was walking by faith. Do we believe Ephesians 2:10, Romans 8:28, Paul the prisoner of the Lord? So a believer in the world learns to walk by facts, not by emotions. Notice 12. I would they were cut off. Now one place he said, cast them out. Now he said, I would that they were cut off that trouble you. Wonder what he'd say today. I think you know what he would say. He'd say, I would they were cut off. Oh, when I see the dirty, rotten, stinking young people that are consumed of lust, vulgar, vile. I don't have the poem, or I'd read you the poem about the generation of New York City. The poet wrote about them. But notice that 16th verse, walk in the Spirit. Now, he strengthened Jesus to do, And it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You see, he was a man. He didn't lean on the fact that he was God. He was a man. He could never have taken my place if he'd been less than a man, just like I am, apart from the carnal nature. Verse 16, walk in the Spirit. And verses 17 through 21 give us 18 of such like that walk in the flesh. You do know you have two natures, don't you? Have you found it out yet? Have you found out there's something in you that just drives you wild if you don't count it with God? Now it will. Why do you see Christians? You don't have to go out here and commit adultery to walk after the flesh. You can just envy that fellow that God gave a Cadillac to and made you walk. You could just envy Pilate up yonder in his castle, and I'm in the dungeon. Paul said, I had not known sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Covetousness? Ben, I'm getting to you. I can tell that, and I'll rub your head. There's a good boy. And I'll tell you, everybody here, he's a good boy. And there are those that'll go around and say, Lori's too hard on him. Don't you believe it, son? If my mom would have had her way, I never would have got in all the trouble I got in. But my daddy was gone, and I finally, when I got to be about 13, 14, I was too big to whip. Well, there's 18 of them. You read them. Now, there are people that do those things that would criticize those of verse 22 through 26. The fruit of the Spirit are these: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, whatever. I'm not even turned to it yet. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's how we live. I'm a Christian because the Holy Spirit made me a new creation. I'm crucified with Christ, we read back here. And I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, that's the 20th verse of the second chapter, I live. And yet it's not me, but Christ that's living in me. So faith in Christ alone makes us heirs. And we are children tonight. And thank God, I'm a child of the free woman. And bless your heart. Neve, let's stand and you dismiss us, son.